Welcome to Kill Chain, a platform cybersecurity and technology podcast presented by Fleet Defender. I'm your host, Marcus Q, and today I'm joined with Kendall Bricko.
Hey, everyone.
And Daniel Kovach.
Hello.
Today we have a really special episode. We're going to be discussing AI and machine learning, and we have our expert Daniel here, who has spent 10 plus years in the artificial intelligence field across a number of different sectors, including cybersecurity, finance, defense, and also consulting. So really excited to have this conversation, and let's begin. All right. Well, Kendall, Daniel, super happy to have you here today. We're going to get started with a little bit of Fleet Defender news. So we actually have a webinar coming out in the next week with Terry Reinert, who is a normal, you know, regular host on this podcast, cyber warfare and security expert. So be sure to watch that on our YouTube channel or check out our website at fleetdefender.com if you'd like to see that as well. Otherwise, Kendall, what are we talking about today?
Yeah, today we're going to be discussing how AI and vehicles and different platforms have been utilized together because it's been a growing thing in the past few years. So with that being said, we are pleased to have Daniel Kovach with us today, who is our director of technology. And he's also been working in the AI and machine learning industry for about 10 plus years in a number of different industries, including platform cybersecurity, finance sector, and has also been a consultant across a number of different industries. So with that being said, Daniel, can you kind of explain to everybody here what exactly AI or artificial intelligence is?
Absolutely. That's a great question, Kendall. So how I like to describe machine learning is basically a computer program that does not need to be explicitly programmed to complete a task, right? So that could be something easy, like, say, setting a thermostat, right? You can look at, for example, what the majority of people like and, you know, guess a number, and you know that could be a good first setting as something, as a suggestion for someone who is, you know, just using your product. However, things get a lot more complex when you have things like image recognition, right? So if I was to, say, ask a machine learning classifier to differentiate between a dog and a cat, you can imagine how complex that task might be if I had to actually have a human sit there and program pixel by pixel enough to differentiate those two items. Another example is with what we call natural language processing. With natural language processing, or NLP, we're able to take in text data and be able to apply some kind of heuristic to it to determine, say, for example, the sentiment of a statement, to detect sarcasm, or even to use that as input into a chatbot. So that's how I like to kind of describe what machine learning is. And that is a little bit of a subset for the more general case of AI. Now, with artificial intelligence in general, that typically connotates something where you see what we call emergent behavior. So for example, if I'm just asking the machine learning classifier to, say, differentiate a cat and a dog, or to detect anomalous behavior in a vehicle like we do here at Fleet Defender, it's a very different task from, say, asking an AI agent, as we call them, to write me a poem, or write me a book report on the Odyssey, or compose me a song, or draw this picture with these four elements in it. You see, you start to get into what we call generative behaviors, or the ability of an algorithm to basically act on its own with some form of agency. And that's really what distinguishes, at least in my book, machine learning from AI.
Okay, that's super helpful, because that was actually going to be my next question is, you know, I hear AI, ML, artificial intelligence, machine learning, and they seem to get used, you know, almost interchangeably. But there is a difference. And so am I correct in what I'm hearing, which is, you know, machine learning is a subset of AI. Is that right?
Absolutely, Marcus. So nowadays, especially with the advent of ChatGPT and some of these more powerful applications of large-scale machine learning and AI, you're starting to see a lot of overlap, especially with the hype-driven ads and tweets and things like that. They're really trying to take advantage of this, you know, new movement in support of some of these methods. And like you said, the terminology tends to get a little bit jumbled and confused, but this is a maturing science that has been around since arguably the 1950s, maybe a little bit before with John von Neumann and some others. But it is a very mature field now. And again, these definitions are pretty specific, but like you said, for marketing purposes and people trying to jump on the bandwagon and hashtags and all that,
sure.
Sometimes there's a lot of overlap.
So years ago, when I started first hearing about AI, the first thing that always came to my mind was iRobot. I thought AI was just robots and that's all it was going to be. But as we see today, that's not really the case. And AI is being implemented into a whole bunch of different fields and industries. So Daniel, can you kind of explain what or how AI is being implemented in vehicles and other platforms?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the first example that comes to mind is what we're doing right here at Fleet Defender, right? So basically we are monitoring the vehicle's network and basically looking for things that are out of place, looking for things that are characteristic of a potential cyber attack such that we can warn the driver and or the fleet manager such that they can take an appropriate course of action to ensure the safety of that driver and whatever cargo they're potentially carrying in the context of, say, a tractor trailer. In the context of a consumer vehicle, you might want to, say, pull over and, you know, kind of assess what's going on with your vehicle. So there's very tactile applications in the automotive industry, but it extends beyond that, right? So currently we're also working on a safety product. So we're working on the ability to ascertain safe driving characteristics and, of course, isolate violations of that. And that can be used to, say, coach a driver to, you know, become a safer, more reliable driver and, you know, potentially have implications, you know, for the cost of insurance, right? We all know, you know, those little dongles that you receive from your insurance company to basically monitor your driving and be able to detect, you know, when you're a safe driver, basically. There's also other aspects. AI has really taken off. And in this case, I actually do use AI for the generative behaviors because you can actually take into account lessons learned from, say, the design of a vehicle and use that, feed that into a simulator or some kind of method to generate new predictions and actually help you design vehicles that are safer, faster, more efficient, or in some way optimized across some kind of characteristic.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, it's just crazy the field of AI and how it's expanding right now. And you think of that just really with ChatGPT, right? That's the main thing in the news now. But from what you're saying, it sounds like this has been around a while. You know, people have been using this technology, implementing this technology to make better products, better vehicles, safer products and vehicles. So it's a really exciting time in AI, but it's not a new thing. And so I guess it really leads me to my next question, because we just kind of covered, you know, here's the positives and the things that you can use AI for to be more productive, more efficient. What would be some downsides of using AI in a vehicle?
So I think that the over-reliance on AI is something that we need to be cautious about. So just like anything, AI or machine learning is just a tool. Okay. And just like a tool, if you put too much faith in the tool and don't understand its limitations, that can have some deleterious aspects. So for example, just playing around with ChatGPT, I've asked it to write me various programs to do certain things, you know, do some data analysis, make me a machine learning model. And it gets me about 70% of the way through, sometimes as low as 40%, but it gets me at least 70% of the way through in most applications. And then I find that that 30% is not only wrong, but it's like flat out wrong. Right. And of course, you know, for some basic applications, it actually does quite well. But if you're asking it to do anything nuanced for which you are getting it to exceed its comfort zone, for which it has very little training examples, it can kind of jump the gun and make some assumptions that just aren't correct for that particular application. And so I just think that we need to be cognizant about that again, this is just a tool and is trained from millions and millions of examples. So it has already done the legwork of you as a researcher, you know, reading papers and looking at examples and things like that. But it's not omnipotent, right? It is not something, it's no silver bullet. Mm-hmm. And again, it's just a tool that can help you get started. But as a human, you need to step in and really be judicious about what kind of results it gives you.
Yeah, and I want to keep the conversation on vehicles and platforms, but I'm going to divert us for just 1 second because I want to ask you this question as somebody who's an expert is, you know, everybody's fear is that everything's going to go to AI, right? In ChatGPT, you see it in schools a lot, right? Is nobody's writing anything anymore because they're just using AI to generate everything. And I have to believe that that's, you know, take that all the way down the road, is that you never get anything new, right? Because it's AI and generative AI is really based on the data that it's fed into it. Or can it create something new off of that information? I guess it's more of a question. is you know, like, is it always going to regurgitate what's existing and we just will end up with nothing new? Or is it able to create new ideas off of information that it's already been fed?
So that's a great question. And let me kind of start from the beginning with that. And that is that plagiarism using technology is not new, right? You know, even when I was in school and we actually had Dogpile before Google, kids would still, you know, use that to, they have examples of their book reports and things like that. So that's not new. The issue is that, yes, ChatGPT and other of the modern AI-based generative mechanisms can actually generate you new content. And they do so, granted, by example, much like a human would, right? So if you're asked to, say, write a grant proposal, well, what are you going to do? You're going to draw upon knowledge from previous examples that you've seen or done, and that's going to feed your generative ability to create a new one. So yes, there are ways that we can generate, say, new art, new music, new grant applications from ChatGPT, for example. I'm using that as an example, but there's other ones too. Chatbots have been around for a long time. It's just ChatGPT had the marketing right. Mm-hmm. And they had the resources to train this thing across basically the internet, right? So it has evolved quite a bit. And there's been a lot of human intervention into it and engineering such that, yes, it can generate new things. But again, just like any other tool, you do want to audit those results and make sure that it's giving you exactly what you want for the application that you need.
Yeah, really, really interesting stuff. And it's amazing to see what we can do with it. But kind of taking us back to the vehicles and platforms, Daniel, can you list or give some examples of how machine learning technologies are used in different vehicles, especially like on the autonomous side of vehicles?
That's a great question. So autonomous vehicles are a great application for artificial intelligence and machine learning. And there's just so many aspects that they need to take into account concurrently in real time. Now, in the past, we've gone through what we call AI winters. And typically those happened, for example, we had one in the 1960s through the 70s because there were some theoretical challenges that were solved with multi-layer neural networks. We also had computational challenges, right? So in the 1990s, we just didn't have the hardware capabilities to apply some of these larger neural networks in such a way that, you know, made sense. Now we have the cloud at our disposal, we have GPUs, we have multiple GPUs, and we have the software that takes that into account. So we can train and do things that are computationally challenging at what we call the edge or in practice on a vehicle, for example, in real time. We can take the load off that and take care of it in the cloud. So there's a lot of really interesting developments that have happened that's really helped us a lot with our application of these computationally intensive methods. So for example, we have a lot of image recognition. So, you know, when we are in an autonomous vehicle, we have to be looking at the road to understand what lane we're in. We have to do object detection to understand the vehicles around us, how they're progressing with their speed. do some estimation as far as, for example, collision detection. So, for example, if I'm following this semi and he stops abruptly, what can I do to avert a collision? There's also some upper cognitive, I would say, reasoning. So, for example, these moral dilemmas, right? If there's a decision that I have to make between, say, hitting an old man on a crosswalk or swerving and hitting a school bus full of children, what do you do and how do you handle that decision, right? So there's a lot of things that need to be taken into account in, for example, autonomous vehicle, the study of autonomous vehicles in order to make a workable, safe product. And I guarantee you that if there is, for example, one decision that was made that might not even be the fault of the AI agent that's driving the vehicle, it's going to make the news and it's going to impact the industry for potentially years to come. So these people who are designing these autonomous vehicles definitely have their hands full.
Oh, 100%. So with that, you can't just have one product on an autonomous vehicle and say, hey, it's good. I'm assuming it's going to have to use multiple different sensors, GPSs, radars, all that to be able to go around the cities, go around the towns to try to avoid hitting those elderly people crossing the street in the school bus full of children.
That's absolutely correct. And what we call that, the specific term that we call that is an input vector. And an input vector, the word vector in that statement implies that there's a lot of data there. Right, so you're not just looking at a single number, you're looking at a whole bunch of numbers that tell you a whole bunch of different things. So that's going to include, say, the video feed from at least four different cameras. That's going to be including, say, radar data that is estimating the distance of the vehicle, say, in front of me. Could it even be passenger data to determine what the state of the passenger is? So there's all these different things that the AI needs to be juggling concurrently in order to be successful. And these things are constantly updating. So the fact that we're constantly recording data on the road, typically that's fed back to a central server in the cloud somewhere in the hopes that we can make this technology better.
So it's always learning. It's essentially taking in all that input data and not just using it to make a decision in that moment, but also to send that data back to, let's call it like its central brain, and continue to learn and improve. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. It's just like, a thing I like to say is the moment you stop learning is when you die, right? And that's true with an AI product too. You should be constantly working to push the bar and evolve this thing and hone it to become better at whatever its task is.
And I don't want to keep going back to, the elderly person crossing the street and the school bus full of children.
but you seem to.
But yes, it's very interesting to me. No, but I'm thinking about all the different, the cities, the traffic, congestion, all different types of things that are not standard each day. Congestion, one day it'll be completely clear. Another day it'll be backed up for hours and hours, depending on the time of day, the weather, all different kind of outside factors. So could machine learning somehow work with the cities or traffic lights, whatever, and make congestion less?
Yeah, absolutely. So that is a ongoing topic in the category of smart cities, or basically anything where we're integrating the machine learning techniques into the logistics of a city, right? Civil engineering. So a great example is traffic, right? So at certain times, certain roads become more congested, given certain factors like weather, main thoroughfares have obviously congestion issues in large cities, but obviously people from the other direction have to get to where they're going as well. So how do we optimize those rules? How do we optimize those lights and synchronize them in such a way that, you're never going to have perfection, but everybody gets there in a reasonable time. And that's a very good task for a machine learning agent, is to be able to take all of those factors into an account and design a system such that we optimize everybody's trip.
Well, smart cities honestly sound like the future. I mean, everything's going to start going that way, I'm sure. Like, why not, right? I mean, if we have the tools, we have the technology, why not make our city smarter? I mean, so many impacts to that. But as a platform cybersecurity and technology podcast, I think we've covered the technology aspect. So talking about the cybersecurity aspect, what are some ways that machine learning and AI can really help improve cybersecurity?
Yeah, so I can actually give an example of one of my first contributions to the space, and that was at Raytheon. I actually designed the back end of RShield. It's their corporate firewall. And basically, this was able to learn about new threats as opposed to being explicitly programmed. So in the past, when you would get hacked, you would have to figure out what the thing did such that, you know, you can, you know, make provisions for that and, you know, potentially never see that again. But then it's always a cat and mouse game between the attackers who would figure out what you did. Typically, they were just looking for hashes or identifiers of common threats, which obviously is, you know, has the deficiency in that, you know, you change a few things and you're able to slip by it. So what my solution was to look for the behaviors of what these things were doing as measured by some of our other technologies at a very, very low level. So that's a great example of how machine learning can really push the bar on some of these cybersecurity techniques. Because again, how I like to define machine learning is something that can function without being explicitly programmed how to do so, right? So it'll just kind of figure it out. And we have that, we see that in network security, for example. You know, I'm sure everybody has a home network. We understand you got mom and dad on their computers, maybe their children are on the tablets. And so the network traffic is going to look, is going to have a characteristic profile. Well, what if somebody's trying to do something nasty, like potentially probe that network, maybe launch an attack and install a rootkit, get some passwords, get some financial data, or do something nefarious? Well, that we assume that that's going to have a characteristic signature too, right? Or at least that it's going to look different from the normal pattern of traffic within a network. And that logic is essentially what we apply to Fleet Defender, where we are looking at the traffic within the network of a vehicle. So a lot of people kind of get surprised at that, like, wow, there's a functional network within a vehicle. That's absolutely correct. So all those little internal components within your vehicle are networked together so that the vehicle can as a whole operate and do what it needs to do. Everything from the module that yells at my wife when she doesn't put her seatbelt on to my tire pressure sensor, which you know, sometimes goes off when the module is bad as opposed to when my tires are actually bad. So there's a list of things that the car or the vehicle in general basically do and that the car has to do in order to maintain a safe functionality. So basically what we're doing is we're understanding that profile by looking at lots and lots of data and understanding the difference between normal vehicle behavior and somebody potentially trying to do something nasty.
Wow. Well, thank you, Daniel. We really appreciate you coming on today and talking to us about, you know, AI and machine learning, and you even brought it back to Fleet Defender. So you're doing our job for us. we appreciate that. And if you'd like to learn more about, you know, our AI and ML based solutions for fleet cybersecurity, give us a look at fleetdefender.com. Otherwise, Kendall, Daniel, thank you for joining today.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks for having me, Marcus.
All right. We'll see you all next week.